Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Let's return to item number one.
Item number one is a resolution authorizing and directing the manager of the Milwaukee County Election Commission to work with the Office of the Sheriff as well as the election officials of the cities of Milwaukee and Franklin to facilitate absentee voting by inmates at Milwaukee County's correctional facilities for primary and general elections in 2012. And further, directing the manager of the Milwaukee County Election Commission to aggregate and report voting irregularities experienced by the electorate as reported by municipal election officials during said elections.
Good morning, Supervisor Harris.
Good morning. Good morning, my esteemed colleagues. I am here before you today to present my resolution that continues my work with the voter ID initiative and the new law that we have here in the state of Wisconsin. And one thing that I started to pick apart the more we learned about this law is that not only will elderly be disenfranchised, disabled, young people, but then you also have inmates who are who can actually vote. They're not felons. They're housed here at the county jails as well as Correctional Facility South, and they won't have a voice. And as we know, a lot of those individuals were very instrumental in with this 2008 election for our president. And so we don't want to continue to further disenfranchise anyone who has the right to vote. So I would like your support on this resolution. I also would like to have one of you make a motion to add absentee ballots as well, because I realize that not only will this will direct the Election Commission to report individuals who've been turned away from the polls and track how inmates are voting and how they're getting the information, but it also will, we need to track those individuals who will be turning in absentee ballots as well. Those would be our elderly, disabled individuals and our students that are out of state who would also need to send in an absentee ballot to vote. I think this is a very important resolution and hope that I can get your support on it, and I give it back to you, Mr. Chairman, to allow someone to make a motion.
Supervisor Harris, do you have an idea where you would like to have?
Yes. Yes. I did talk with Rick Session today. Which line is it?
65.
Okay, yes.
Mr. Chairman, I would recommend that we include after on line 65 of the proposed resolution, after the word rejected ballots, we include, comma, including absentee ballots, comma. And the reason for the denial.
I would make that motion to amend it as described, as well as moving approval.
Supervisor Robert moves approval, but we are on the amendment, and the officer moves to approve the amendment.
Question on the amendment. Is there anyone from the Election Commission that can add some insight as to history as to whether or not absentee ballots are prohibited or unavailable to anybody who may be at either Milwaukee Correction Facility South or North?
No one is here to speak on it, but what I can tell you based on my research that I've done is that inmates, if they do not have an ID on them when they are picked up for any reason, if they have no form of identification on them, then they cannot vote. Does that help answer your question? So basically, the education piece is for them to be educated on their rights, educated on the new law, and then steps need to be taken. If they have ID at home and a family member can send that to them, then they can have a copy of their identification. Another route is if they were picked up and they had ID on them, then they can ask the individual, the individual that's responsible for getting their absentee ballots, because they do have someone assigned to that responsibility, then they can ask them to request their ID from wherever it's being held, have a copy made of it, and that copy of that ID will be sent with their ballot.
Major Evans, do you have anything to, or Inspector Miller, do you have anything that you can add as it relates to your experience?
I do. Members of the board.
Please identify yourself.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Inspector Edward Bailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y, with the Mauk County Sheriff's Office, representing Sheriff David Clark, and I'm joined by the functional head of our detention footprint, Major Nancy Evans, E-V-A-N-S. As an overarching statement, if it pleases the Chair, the Sheriff's Office is not largely the decision maker in these matters. These are matters of law. The Sheriff's Office is committed that those that have the right to vote continue to enjoy their right to vote regardless of incarceration. If they have a right to vote, they have a right to vote. As we go into a presidential election year, there is no more important right to an American citizen. Major Evans can talk in terms of process and how we accomplish that, issues such as identification, but the reality is we're committed to people being able to vote in a way that passes legal muster with the Accountability Board and with the Election Commission, and we largely take our marching orders from the Election Commission. And I'll pass over to Major Evans, if I may. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Good morning, members of the board, Chair. Prior to this year, we accepted the inmates' identification that we provide them as enough, and anybody requesting an absentee ballot, we made sure they got it, and we delivered them personally to the election. This year, we have made some arrangements for inmates. We will get their ID if they have one in their property, or we will allow their family members to come bring in a photo ID where we will copy it. Any inmate who has Huber, we will give them additional time out to be able to go get a new ID if they don't have one. But we would like nothing more that the election board accept their wristband, because we do fingerprint and photo as their ID to make sure any inmate who wishes to vote can do so.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I would close that out by saying there's no firmer identification of a subject's identity than when they're in custody. We've fingerprinted. We've had the FBI verify it. If the Election Commission were willing to accept an affidavit or something in lieu of state-issued photo ID, the Sheriff's Office is certainly amenable to that, but that has to do with their rules, not ours. And there are some time constraints that we were discussing. These matters have to meet a certain time constraints that are set by the Election Commission, so clearly sooner is better than later in such matters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, in light of the comments from the Sheriff's Office, it appears to me that the Sheriff's Office has taken steps already to assure that there are these safeguards in place, and in fact, it sounds like you've gone beyond that to take proactive steps to make sure that these individuals are not disenfranchised. And so my question, I guess, to the author is, What's the problem that we're dealing with? If in fact these things are in place already, why is the need there? And secondly, why are we singling out one group of voters for special treatment? And you've mentioned others who might also benefit from it, the elderly, mm-hmm. disabled, or students. What's the rationale for singling out just incarcerated inmates?
Well, Mr. Chair, first of all, you know I've been fighting this since day one, since I learned about this law. So this isn't, I'm singling out any particular group of individuals. I'm just making sure that everyone has a right to vote. I was unaware, and I'm really pleased to hear that the Sheriff's Department has moved forward on this. So I'm glad to know this. I know I did speak to one of the officers at the correctional facility. I cannot remember his name, but I know he's working with the inmates on this and was recently assigned up until the presidential election or something of that nature, if I have my facts correct. However, what What I think this legislation is important because not only does it continue to make sure that these individuals are not disenfranchised, but now we have the Election Commission pushing and backing this effort. So I'm still on board with moving my resolution. I think, you know, the Sheriff's Department, again, is doing a phenomenal job, and I appreciate this. But I also feel like having this law abiding over our voting rights and inmates, we need to continue to push it.
If I may just follow up, my question is there any evidence or, you know, why are we singling out this group for special treatment?
Because they don't have identification. You just heard the major, am I saying
right?
Say that they used to be able to use a wristband. Now they're doing everything that they possibly can to get identification from family members. We need to make sure, again, that their voices are heard. They're not able to use their wristbands, so anything possible. And if we need the Election Commission to push that, then that's what I want behind it, this effort.
And what is the position? Have you discussed it with the Election Commission? Do they have adequate staff to do this? Do they have a plan in place?
Yes, they've already been spoken to regarding this, and they are waiting their work. The Franklin Election Commission cannot wait to work with us on this, and we're moving forward with it.
And our county election commission is in favor of the resolution?
To my understanding, they know about it.
And were they advised of the meeting today?
Probably not. I didn't connect with them about it, so I do apologize for that piece.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I'm hearing is that we had a system that functioned well until the legislature decided to impose what seemed to me and to many others to be unduly restrictive measures aimed at somewhat alleged voter suppression.
Mm-hmm.
What this does should be unnecessary,
mm-hmm,
because we had a system in place. But I think this shows one more facet of a problem that inhibits the right of individuals to vote, makes it more difficult, and consequently can only be interpreted, in my view, as an attempt at suppression. That is unfortunate in this democracy, but it's a reality we have to deal with, and I commend you, Supervisor, for your efforts to assure us that everyone who is eligible has the opportunity to vote.
Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor.
I think I should be referred to as Exhibit A when the Sheriff's Department is here. I would think we're talking around the issue, and that is the issue of absentee ballots. For example, on voting day, an inmate has gone for a trial date. What's happening for that inmate, client, whatever we call this person, opportunity to vote?
Thank you, if it pleases the chair. That was sort of the tail end, I suppose, of the comments that I previously made, Supervisor, had to do with the time constraints. The request for the absentee ballot has to be completed and on file with the Election Commission 20 days before the election. Now, we affirmatively, within the Sheriff's Office, send notice to every inmate in our detention facilities that the election is coming up. We advise them what the time constraints are, and we tell them that if they wish to request an absentee ballot, they need simply identify that with a form we give them with the deputy sheriff that's in their house, or correctional officer that's in their housing unit. And that's well in advance of that date, so then we can then file that paperwork with the Election Commission, secure the ballots, distribute them, and get them back to the Election Commission. So I think correctly that there are anomalies that occur based on the schedule that an inmate lives in a correctional footprint, which is if they have court, they are taken to court. If they have medical appointments, they're taken to medical. And those could, on a case-by-case basis, create a conflict on election day. I can't argue with that because I think but if the system works the way we have it set up, that absentee ballot is filed well in advance of election day. Thank you.
Well, your response just raises a lot more issues. I mean, what if they're not there when the notice goes out, and on and on? And I would like to ask Corp Counsel, there's a whole new procedure for absentee ballots. And I don't know if Attorney Grady's prepared to talk about that at all. And I apologize, okay. Because there is a rather lengthy, and I've been very concerned about absentee ballots and the elderly. And there are these exceptions for those that are permanently shut in and so on. It sounds like the Sheriff's Department is attempting to make the correct statements here, but I continue to be concerned about absentee ballots. And, you know, we've had the sheriff who has not been cooperative with Huber Transportation and other issues related to rights. And I applaud Supervisor Harris. She has been the supervisor who's carried the ball on this. I think there are concerns, and I think there's reason for us to address this resolution. And I'd certainly like to hear from you how you're going to ensure absentee ballots for those deputies that, for those clients at the house that are not available on voting day. And in light of the very complicated law we now have for absentee ballots, it's not the old law. This is new requirements with a lot more hoops to jump through. So I will certainly support this, and I'd like to hear more from the Sheriff's Department on the whole issue of absentee ballots. And I'd actually like to ask Mr. Chairman if we could have a report from the Sheriff's Department on what your procedure is going to be with regard to absentee ballots and your review of what's required for absentee ballots under this new law. So if I could request that report as well. Thank you.
And Supervisor, when would you like that report to be timely as it relates to the upcoming primary?
Well, yeah, I don't know that we're going to have an opportunity to meet before the primary. What is the primary date? But certainly we could have it before April 3rd. So if we could have it at the next regularly scheduled meeting, that we could follow up on this issue.
The next regularly scheduled meeting is March 1st.
Okay, I would ask for it then. That at least gets it to us before April 3rd.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak?
Supervisor.
Thank you. This may help answer your question, Supervisor Jurisic, but I do have in this resolution that the Election Commission will report out to us regarding who's been turned away and what these, and which is why I'm adding the absentee ballot piece, and they will be able to report out for February 21st to us. So that may help a little bit.
It may, but I would like to hear specifically from the Sheriff's Department as well, and I appreciate that, and I think both reports would be appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As is always the case with the relationship between the county board and the sheriff, I will advise him of the board's request and your desires today. Thank you.
We have a motion for approval. I'm going to say on the amendment. I'm sorry. Any further discussion on the amendment? If not, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
On the amendment, Supervisors Jurisic?
Aye.
Washon?
Aye.
Cesars?
Aye.
Roderick?
Aye.
Rice?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Vote is 6-0.
Supervisor Broderick moves approval as amended.
Yes.
Supervisors Jurisic?
Aye.
Washon?
Aye.
Cesars?
Aye.
Roderick?
Aye.
Rice?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
All right.
Vote is 6-0. The item is approved as amended.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.